What do you do when you are suddenly and unexpectedly confronted by strange and frightening behavior from someone close to you? This question becomes increasingly urgent when people first discover that a loved one, a friend, or a coworker has a mental health disorder. They find themselves catapulted into an unknown, painful, and disorienting reality. You know something is wrong, but you have no idea what to do or how to respond. That was my challenge when my son suffered a traumatic incident and became mentally ill.
Diana Kendros was a successful businesswoman whose company's products were distributed internationally with hundreds of sales reps in the field. Then, something happened. She gave up her business. She gave up her home. She gave up everything to save her son.
Hi, I'm your host, Diana Kendros, and welcome to Conversations for Hope. In this season, we will be taking you on a dramatic journey through compelling stories to understand how mental health challenges affect all of us in every area of life, our families, and society as a whole. We explore contemporary crises such as bullying, suicide prevention, and the cost of stigmatizing mental illness. Our podcast shares real-life stories through interviews and discussions that provide in-depth conversations with leaders in the field and families with lived experience. These conversations offer insights, practical advice, how to navigate the healthcare system, mental health education, and most importantly, hope.
Diana, your son Dimitri was bullied, and it escalated to an assault, and he became mentally ill as a result. How did you deal with this experience?
Believe me, it wasn't easy. I can still see Dimitri's sweet face filled with tears describing the incident. Listening to his pain, I couldn't think. I couldn't even breathe. It was an inconceivable act committed by schoolmates he thought he was safe with.
There are so many ways kids bully others. Now, can you share why this was so traumatic?
Bullying situations usually involve more than the bully and the person being bullied. They also involve bystanders, those who watch bullying happen or assist the bully in making it worse. Depending how bystanders respond, they can either contribute to the problem or the solution. Bystanders rarely play a completely neutral role, although they may think they do. Now, in our case, it was extremely traumatic because there were four boys involved: the leader, two that assisted the leader, and one who behaved like a silent bystander and just watched everything happen, even though Dimitri was yelling for help.
Wow, that sounds horrible. How did it begin? How was Dimitri before the bullying began?
Well, it began in elementary school, where Dimitri had been verbally bullied for years, but never anything like this. And prior to this, Dimitri was a happy, kind child and a growing artist. He was a bit chubby and was drawn to artistic activities that did not interest many of his more athletic classmates. So at first we tried to be patient. We talked to the school, some of the parents, wondering if the teasing wasn't just boys being boys. But Dimitri was a little different in how he looked and his artistic sensitivity. Then I began to realize the things Dimitri loved about himself were being ridiculed daily. That self-doubt was creeping in. I saw the light that always shines so bright in his eyes. His passion for life and his joy in his art, everything I saw that leave him just a little bit more each semester over the course of elementary and middle school. Shortly after the assault, Dimitri began having very serious and scary symptoms. Not just being quiet and withdrawn, but severe depression, not getting out of bed, low energy, deeply sad. And the most frightening, hearing voices in his head telling him to hurt himself. That is when we knew we needed to have him hospitalized in a pediatric psychiatric ward.
Now that sounds really frightening. How did you deal with this?
It was getting worse and worse. For Dimitri, there was no middle ground. This was life or death. He was still being teased. He was failing in school, distracted and could not focus on anything. The school was completely not equipped to handle any of this at that time, which was 12 years ago. Jeffrey, you know, as parents, we believe we will do anything for our children. It simply goes with the responsibility of caring for them, but sometimes things happen that we just can't imagine. These are the times that try our souls. These are the moments of extreme pain and uncertainty. So I knew I had to show up stronger, clearer, and more engaged a mother than I had ever been. I knew I had to steady my fear and swallow my pain in order to give him all he needed to return from the edge of the cliff he was falling off. At this point, I absolutely had no idea how dramatically our lives were about to change.
In our next episode, Diana will share the rest of the story and how she saved her son's life. To hear more about Diana's and Dimitri's story, go to conversationsrealpeople.com and subscribe for free. And as a thank you, Diana will email you her ebook, Saving a Life: The Courage to Thrive. Thank you for listening to Conversations, Real People, Real Stories.